Podcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
On a daily basis, I am thankful that I live in the United States of America. We have all kinds of things going on in this country, but we have a great country of great people, and I hope everybody's as thankful as I am about it. Just celebrated the 4th of July, Independence Day of America. And as much as we are struggling with various things, I know that this country is going to come around, and we're going to come together. And one of the people that's going to help us do that is Shelley Rep, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. She is on the front lines of a battle in Albuquerque that I never really knew existed, and that is domestic minor sex trafficking. Shelley, welcome into ABQ Connect.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on today, Jim. I appreciate your time.
Well, Shelley, I've known you, and we talk about this every time you're on the show. I've known you for a really long time, and the amount of knowledge that you have in this particular area is amazing to me, but it also makes me shudder. It makes me cringe, and it makes me embarrassed that I didn't know this was as pervasive a problem. The fact that there are not only men and women being trafficked, adults, but that there are minors being trafficked. And of course, this is a mature theme. We'll try to be use as much discretion as we can. But listeners, this is going to be another tough subject, but I think it's an important one. And Shelley, I contacted you because back on the 30th, I had Pastor Jesse Lusco. He is a pastor of Calvary Church Westside, and he wanted to talk about pornography and the addiction that it is. I perceived at the time that it was primarily an addiction for men. I think that it is still more prevalent in men than it is in women, but he tells us that, you know, it's on the rise. And one of the things that he said is that people that use pornography, and maybe they think they're doing this and it's just something they do by themselves in their own, you know, private area. But he says that it really affects sex traffic around this country when you use pornography. So I wanted to get you on the show and see what your thoughts were about this. So let's start right away by having you tell us, how did you become aware of domestic or sex trafficking?
So I actually had been researching human trafficking. You know, I had become aware from my position at the time. I was working at a church in Albuquerque and overseeing outreach. And so I had no idea that trafficking happened in the United States at all. And so when I became aware that their trafficking was happening, it just launched me into about a year of research on the subject of trafficking, and specifically sex trafficking, and how that happened in the United States at all. And really what I found was that this domestic minor sex trafficking component, so children, teens that are being brought into trafficking, is actually the main way that trafficking happens in the United States. That the average age of entry into commercial sexual exploitation in the United States is 12 to 14 years old. And so these are very young middle school, young high school students that are being pulled into trafficking. And it's very rare that somebody that is older, mid-20s, early 30s or older, becomes a trafficking victim. It's almost always these younger people that are brought in. And so I just found out through my own research, and then when I started working with trafficking victims here in the state of New Mexico, almost all of them had begun their trafficking experiences when they were teenagers or younger.
Oh, Shelley, that's just heartbreaking. Shelley Rep is the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. It's a ministry that is specifically targeting help to minors who are involved in sex trafficking. Tell us about the New Mexico Dream Center, Shelley.
Sure, absolutely. So the New Mexico Dream Center has two primary programs right now that are connected in our efforts to provide services to sex trafficking victims, and then upstream prevention of those for people to fall into sex trafficking. So our first program that we have is called Spoken For, and it's the one that I initially established back in 2011. And Spoken For provides aftercare for identified victims of human trafficking here in the state of New Mexico. And so that aftercare looks like housing, case management, helping connect people to services, that type of situation. And so we've been doing that, again, since 2011 here in Albuquerque. And then our newer program started in 2018 when I came on as the executive director for the New Mexico Dream Center. And that is we provide services to homeless youth here on East Central in Albuquerque. And the way that they're connected is that these young people who are homeless are extremely vulnerable to predatory traffickers here in Albuquerque. We literally do have people on the street who are looking for vulnerable teens who do not have resources, who do not have services, and they swoop in and then they take them essentially and bring them into the commercial sex industry through trafficking, through strip clubs here in Albuquerque. I mean, that's what we're seeing happening literally on the streets in Albuquerque.
And Shelley, you feel like these victims are kind of hidden, and they're hidden because a lot of minors have left their homes, or in some cases they've been thrown out of their homes, and typical services to homeless shelters or with homeless shelters are not available to these minors. Is that correct?
That's correct. So when we think about the different, like, homeless shelters, and when you hear about, like, these different homeless initiatives in Albuquerque, they are all geared at homeless adults. There are only two shelters in Albuquerque that can take homeless teens. And so with those two shelters, we're talking less than 75 beds between them. But the estimate of homeless kids in Albuquerque is between 5,000 and 6,000 homeless kids. And when you look at some of the statistics that are put out by the Public Education Department and are put out by other youth serving agencies, there's a huge number of homeless kids across the state of New Mexico. APS estimated that there are, so APS is Albuquerque Public Schools, estimated that there were over 10,000 kids who had experienced homelessness within 1 year time for the Albuquerque Public Schools. And so those are, you know, some kids in shelters or kids living in cars with parents or whatever, but a large percentage of those are these unaccompanied homeless kids that are trying to survive on the street. And it's even as recent as this past week on Thursday, Jim, we got a call from BCSO, which is the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office, and they had picked up a 15-year-old girl who had come here from Santa Fe, and they felt like she was being commercially sexually exploited, and she was unwilling to go into youth shelters, and they just didn't know what to do with her. And so when we're talking with her and we're talking with the detective on the case, she's claimed to be homeless for 2 years. So her homelessness started as a 13-year-old girl. I mean, and how horrific is that for us to think of the 13-year-olds we know, and how would they survive on the street? Well, when we don't give a kid a bed, we are giving them to a trafficker who will provide that bed or that shelter for them. And we don't want that kind of service provision for our children.
Yeah. And Shelley, as the New Mexico Dream Center, you guys are actually not a shelter, right? You don't actually house homeless children, but you work very closely with a number of different agencies. I know you work closely. You just mentioned BCSO. I know you've talked to us in the past about the Albuquerque Police Department. You work with the State Attorney General's Office. Tell us about how all those partnerships work together to try to care for these children.
Yes, absolutely. So we are not a shelter. We offer what's called a drop-in center. So essentially, it's a low barrier way for homeless kids to access services and resources. There's some pretty strict rules that kind of fall into place when you offer beds, and so we've bypassed that essentially right now and been able to kind of get through that by not offering beds at this point. However, our dream is honestly, Jim, in 2021 that we're able to open up a residential living facility specifically for minors, for children who have been trafficked, and so that's our goal for 2021. But the way we interact interact with law enforcement and other service providers is that we, first of all, we do outreach. So we are one of the primary outreach organizations to this population specifically. So we have teams of people who are going and looking for these kids. And so we provide outreach so that we can help connect them to services. But then we're also a receiving agency from these law enforcement investigation units. And so, you know, as I was talking about BSO giving us a call, essentially they're you know, conducting investigation, but they can't keep this kid. And so what their job is to make sure that they hand them off to an agency that can help them take those next steps. And that's what happened with us, is they're like, you know, obviously we're the cops, we're not able to, keep you in jail. We don't want to keep you in jail, but we're going to connect you with somebody who can help you take those next steps. And so what we do then is we develop the relationship with that person, and we help find whatever answers are available for their situation and help them access those services. And so we're kind of like that middleman between the police and then getting connected with other shelters and other service providers in Albuquerque, or honestly across the state.
Well, Shelley, the problem that you're talking about is massive in comparison to anything I would have ever talked about. And one of the things that's very difficult is a lot of these children are coming from homes where they don't want to be returned to their home. And a lot of them have been abused in the foster system. And again, I'm not intending to criticize the foster system. I know there's amazing foster parents out there. But somehow these children just seem to be in a very difficult situation, and they are selling themselves on the street, or they're being pimped, or they're being trafficked, like you're talking about, where they're just being completely taken advantage of. Tell us how somebody that would traffic a child would get a hold of them. I mean, you've used terms in the past like leash drugs. Tell us about how that happens.
Yes, so there's a couple different models that we see commonly around the United States for luring and bringing children into trafficking situations. And so one of them, which we talked about, is homeless kids. Homeless kids are vulnerable in a way that housed kids are not, and so that's you know, they're essentially approached on the street. But then we have recruitment that happens through relationships, which is also very, very common. And this happens through social media, interactions online, where you've got a kid, a girl specifically, even though it's not limited to just girls, where she's online on her social media account, and she's being approached by these people who portray themselves as being younger, or sometimes they just don't. And their job or their goal is to establish a relationship with that kid, and then essentially move that kid from trusting their parents or trusting their foster parents or trusting their school into that trusting relationship with them. And that process is called grooming. Essentially, they're grooming them to be able to isolate and move them away from those protective measures and into where this person who ends up being a trafficker has control over them. So we see that type of trafficking as well, and that recruitment. And honestly, for children who are housed, who are, you know, in somewhat safe environments, this is the primary method for recruitment and into trafficking. In those cases, we see, and again, in the cases with homeless kids as well, but we see traffickers using some specific drugs to be able to get control and maintain control over these children. And so the leash that you're talking about is heroin. It has a very quick and strong addiction factor to it. And then your need for that, once you've got that addiction created, is just a matter of hours. And so you end up always going back because you need those drugs. And so the trafficker uses that heroin as they're the drug supplier for the trafficking victim as well. And these women, these girls can't get away because they need that drug so bad, so they will always go back. But heroin isn't the only drug that they use. We have seen very commonly that ecstasy, so X, is used especially at the early stages of a trafficking relationship or a trafficking situation, where girls will be at a party and then X will be given to them and they'll have pictures taken of them, and those pictures become part of the manipulation and the coercion. The X also acts kind of as a truth serum, and so the trafficker gains very important information about the girl, her family, that type of thing that, again, is used against her in a form of coercion. So those would be probably the two most common drugs that we see, even though the longer somebody's been in a trafficking situation, the more drugs that they use to even just numb for the situation, because these are intolerable situations, and it's hard to wrap your mind around it.
Well, Shelley, we're going to take a break in just a minute, but before we do, I want you to answer one quick question. Can people escape this? Can you escape this drug addiction? Can you escape traffickers? Is this the whole reason you exist?
It is. You absolutely can escape, and it's a long and complicated and difficult and messy, route out of it, but it absolutely is doable. And we have seen some amazing victory stories from people who have come out of this. So you can, but I'll tell you what, Jim, take some work.
Well, and I think that people would rather be working on escaping it rather than putting up with, some man abusing them on a regular basis because they're addicted to drugs. This is just a shocking story to me. More with Shelley Rep, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, right after these messages. Stay with us.
Are you having a craving for authentic and delicious New Mexican cuisine? Sadie's On Academy is offering phone-in, curbside pickup, and online ordering with menu items like their shredded beef brisket tacos, Brian's carne adobada ribs, sopapilla sliders, and more. Don't forget to pick up their famous Sadie's Chips and Salsa, located at 5400 Academy Road Northeast. Orders can be placed at 505-821-3388. That's 505-821-3388.
The future of car buying is here at PetriePressGo.com. From fingertips to driveway, PetriePressGo.com is the easy and safe way to buy or lease from the comfort of home. Browse thousands of new and pre-owned vehicles. Click. View pricing, instant trade-in offers, real-time loan approvals, and more. Buy completely online without ever visiting our dealership. At your pace, from home, with doorstep delivery. Get started now at PetriePressGo.com.
A different way. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of Vision for Life. One of the things that Coach Art Briles brought to Texas high school football was the spread offense. Coach Briles has always prided himself in challenging the status quo. You see, he looked at the game of football and said, what if? Coach Briles loves to play fast, and he started to do this when playing slow was the norm. He would put the ball in the air when the running game was the prevalent method of moving the ball. He fought the fight a different way and got results that have now permeated the college game and beyond. What if we looked at conflict differently? Have you considered another way when you're in a fight? Proverbs 25:21 and following says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. You know, the movie Woodlawn captures this different way, and in 1973, it moved an entire city.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision, a ministry of Vision for Life Radio.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
I would imagine there's a lot of people listening to the show today that really have not ever experienced anything with minor domestic sex trafficking. They've heard about it, as I did, but they weren't really aware of how prevalent it is. Shelley, you've already used some statistics of 4,000 to 5,000 homeless youth in our community are all at risk to be trafficked. That is a very large number.
It is. It's, it should shock everybody. I want people to be awakened to what's happening on our streets and for us to take action. You know, as we look at what Albuquerque puts its money towards, knowing that we say things with our lips, but we're not necessarily, taking that into action. You know, we've talked about how the mayor is putting, you know, they're putting $14 million into a homeless facility at some point, depending on how everything goes with COVID. I know everything's a little, you know, wonky right now. But $14 million into adult homelessness, which is wonderful, except that we are missing this population, that this population for these younger kids who are more vulnerable, who are more exploitable, the resources aren't being geared towards them at all. There is not a part of the plan for addressing homelessness in Albuquerque that is looking at addressing the child homeless component to this. It's not there, Jim. And that's disturbing to me, because we need to take care of the children in our city and our state.
I agree with you. And I want to point out, though, there is a positive thing. For example, the state attorney general's office, there has been a task force created for human sex trafficking, and you're working very closely with them. Tell us about that relationship.
Yes. So the attorney general's office for the state of New Mexico started the New Mexico Human Trafficking Task Force as a collaborative task force between law enforcement and service providers. And so we've been working with that task force for a couple years, since 2016. We've been a part of it. And we are the main service provider that works with trafficking victims who are minors. And so for us, our clientele, we generally go 21 years old and younger is kind of where our sweet spot for clientele are. And so that's what we do. And we've trained with them across the state of New Mexico. We've been part of the conference that the Attorney General puts on every January around human trafficking. And so we're super involved. And then I don't know, Jim, but there was some news articles recently about another state task force that has the federal component to it, and that is the FBI. New Mexico is one of the very few states that did not have an FBI human trafficking task force specific to it, and so that just started in June, because we're now in July. In June, the FBI just started their task force as well, and they really look at the trafficking that happens across the United States. So the transcontinental trafficking and part of that. And so a lot of our law enforcement officers with Bernalillo County and the Homeland Security are all working on this task force as well that was just started. So it gives me some hope for saving some kids and catching some bad guys and, you know, really bringing this to light. And if I can just say one thing with this, is we look at, you know, saving the kids, catching the bad guys, thinking of them as the traffickers. But, you know, Jim, there's the buyers that are out there. Like, trafficking would not be around if there wasn't a demand for something like this.
Well, and Shelley, let's talk about that. I mentioned at the onset of the program today that part of the stimulus for me getting you on the air, and we like to have you on every so many weeks, and I'm remiss in not getting you on more often, because this is becoming even a bigger problem during COVID, because there are more men and women using pornography online, thinking that they're not hurting anybody else. Maybe they realize they're hurting themselves. But in talking with Pastor Jesse Lusco of Calvary Church Westside here on the 30th, that's a program you can access if you're listening today at abqconnect.online. You can listen to Jesse Lusco. If you just enter that in the search button, you'll see all of the programs with Jesse. And from June 30th, he talked about this. And one of the things he brought up is that pornography contributes to the problem of human sex trafficking. It helps to support the industry financially. It keeps people in bondage. I mean, 90% of our program was about the addiction that pornography, the hold it has. It's almost like the heroin that you mentioned earlier. It's a leash on people. They can't get away from it. They can get away from it, but they need to know how to do it. Jesse made a statement during the program that I thought was just brilliant. He said, the key to fighting addictions is quality personal relationships.
Yes.
And there are men, I'm just going to address to the men because I'm a man, There are people right now that are dealing with pornography. And if you are, you can escape that. And you can be part of solving the problem of sex trafficking, all as part of that, if you can escape it. And there are people in this country that you mentioned, the buyers of human sex trafficking. It would appear to me, I was pointed to a website that is a very interesting website. It's called Fight the New Drug. It's not a religious website, but it is a nonprofit organization. And I read the first article, 10 Surprising Facts About Human Trafficking in the United States, and it all has to do with pornography and the culture that we are and the addiction that people are putting themselves into. And it's shocking, Shelley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, in fact, we do a lot of different awareness trainings and educational trainings around human trafficking around the state of New Mexico. But we actually work really closely with UNM, and there is a professor at UNM who teaches a human sexuality class. And every semester she has us come in and we teach two classes within her curricula. And one of them is the relationship between pornography and sex trafficking, and the other one is the relationship between violence and sex trafficking. And so we have seen these ties, these connections between these two industries in many, many ways. And the thing that we have to really do, we do have to look at is that the economics of this, that demand forces supply. As demand increases, supply is going to have to be met. And so I don't see the United States coming out of its sex trafficking problem without people across the United States addressing the problem of pornography. And that's going to be a tough one because, like, sex trafficking's completely illegal, and we have all these laws coming up for protecting victims and increasing penalties and the financial component, all of this stuff. However, pornography is completely legal. It is legal. And so we have this legal funnel into an illegal activity.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying. Again, I want to refer people to as many resources about this as possible. Shelley, point out your website and the information available for people there.
Yes, absolutely. We are nmdreamcenter.org, and we would love for people to connect with us there on our website. We're happy to, like I said, do trainings. We've got kind of 10 different trainings that we do for different aspects of human trafficking, with this one specific, the relationship between pornography and sex trafficking, as one of those trainings. And we're happy to do that for businesses, for community groups, for churches, for youth groups, any of those kinds of things. But the other one that you're talking about, the Fight the New Drug, is actually a great resource. And the thing that I like about Fight the New Drug is it really takes away kind of that shame factor where people, look at pornography as just this secret, dirty thing. But when you look at it as an addiction, that it really kind of maybe allows people some freedom to look for some help and some services around that.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. We just started a Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/ABQ Connect. And we had this program with Jesse Lusko talking about pornography. And I thought that it was a vitally important program. And I thought that it would get liked and I thought it would get forwarded. And I've only had like a couple people like it.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to a bunch of people and I said, I can't believe that this isn't more important to people than this. And they all looked at me and they said, look, tell me how many emails you've gotten about this. And by the way, if you want to email me about this topic or you want to email me about other topics, feel free to do that. My email address is jim@abqconnect.online. And I'm happy to hear from you. And if you're even wanting some help. I won't be the one counseling on you, but counseling with you, but I've got a lot of resources for you. There's a many, many, many people that have personal experience. They take that weakness, they take that porn addiction that they had at one time, and they've made that weakness a strength for God. They're happy to testify to you how you can escape it, how you can just relieve that problem from overcoming your family and yourself personally. And we now know that you're actually maybe in an indirect way going to be reducing the possibility of human sex trafficking in some way, even if it's a small way, by escaping that addiction. And so I just appeal to people. And here's the kicker. I've ended up getting 20 plus emails about that show, whereas people aren't liking it on Facebook. And I believe it's because of that shame factor. They don't want to be perceived publicly as acknowledging, oh yeah, I like that because I had that problem. And I really think that's what this is about. I think it's about people. They want to hold this addiction, if you will. Christian church would call it sin. They want to hold that close and not let anybody know about it. But it's personal relationships with other people that are going to heal you from this, if this is something that you're dealing with. And I can only imagine there's wives that are listening right now. And I would just appeal to you to somehow, if this is affecting your family, if it's affecting your husband, reach out to us. Reach out to your husband. Tell him there are some discreet resources. There are some people that will love on them. And let me tell you, there really isn't any judgment. We are all, we're all sinners, and we're just dealing with life, and we need to do that together to overcome this stuff. And Shelley, I appreciate the battle you're raging on the streets. So when we come back, you had mentioned earlier that you have some outreach teams. That kind of sounds like a scary thing. When we come back, we're going to talk to Shelley Rep. She's the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center. More about that and volunteers with her organization. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Personal service, Dom Garcia Realty, placing the interest of others first.
So we weren't ready to sell our home, but we did need to move. So we needed to find a realtor who also did property management. One of the things that was important to us, to my husband and I, is that we started putting our money where our mouth was in hiring someone who is a believer, hiring someone who is a Christian. It was maybe a week, that he came over to our house, toured it, and got the contract signed. I would say overall, Dom was efficient. He was available, quick, easy. I didn't have to worry about a thing.
We are a full-service broker that includes working with buyers and sellers, renting, leasing, management, whether residential or commercial.
Dom Garcia Realty, 899-4644, 899-4644.
Se habla español.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome back to ABQ Connect. Shelley Rep, the executive director of the New Mexico Dream Center, on the phone with us. Shelley, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thanks for having me today, Jim. I really appreciate that.
One of these days we have to visit about something fun. Like, I know there's like five, there's like what, 27 rep children that we got to get an accounting of. You guys got a lot of kids.
Yes, we did believe in procreation. So,
You guys have everybody's good though?
Yeah, everybody's good. We've got kids and grandkids, and you know, it's, I have to say, living the grandma life is a pretty fun life, Jim. Do you have any grandkids yet?
No, I've only got two of my five married, maybe a third one coming up, but no grandchildren.
Oh.
So I think that makes you older than me. Is that right?
It does not. It just means I started younger than you, Jim. That's all. That's
all. That's true. That is definitely true. Hey, Shelley, I want to ask you, you know, we talked about porn being legal. And it's an interesting approach that Fight the New Drug website has taken. They specifically say they are not trying to create legislation against pornography.
Right.
Personally, I kind of agree with that because, you know, Paul the Apostle says in Romans that when we try to make a rule about something, that it actually gives opportunity through our flesh. You know, the law is designed to tell us what's right and wrong. But it also makes an opportunity, it makes us focus on the rule rather than the heart of the matter. So I think that this Fight the New Drug, I like their approach, even though they're not a Christian organization. Everything they're talking about is a principle of freeing us from the slavery of sin, the slavery of porn addiction. And I like that approach. They're providing education. They're making sure that people know that the addiction sneaks up on you. We all kind of know about drug addiction and alcoholism and other kinds of addictions and how they creep up on you and take you by the throat and you can't get a hold of them or you can't get away from them. But people really can get away from this, and there's a lot of resources for them. So here's what I want to ask you. Why are so many people, they'll verbalize that they are against sex trafficking? But it's almost like they, on the other hand, will verbalize a support of pornography. I don't think I get that.
Yeah, it is. It is this interesting conundrum, I guess, with people. And I, you know, because I have seen just firsthand those connections, it's hard for me to differentiate and say it is okay to view porn or it's okay to not seek legal measures against pornography. You know, those are the kinds of things because to me, pornography is absolutely exploitive. In fact, there's a trafficking survivor who's publicly known. So her name is Jessica Richardson. And this is a quote from her that she has. She says, "In my mind, pornography is a lot more harmful than even prostitution. Because you take a picture or video of someone, they are forever exploited at the age and time that they are. So you can take a girl off the streets and the exploitation stops. But their photos and their videos are out there forever." And I think that there's, you know, a lot to be said with that, that it is important for us to understand that, you know, pornography affects you. It affects other people. And it's kind of like, pornography pulls the wool over a person's eyes and, you know, convince them that their pleasures essentially trump exploitation, sexism, racism, and violence that they might otherwise object to in other parts of their life. And because it's secret, like, that is handing a tool to the enemy, right? Like, I mean, God's very clear about those things that we keep in the darkness, those things that we keep secret, that God can't touch and heal you. He can't, if you're not going to allow him to come into those secret parts of your heart or those secret parts of your life.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Shelley, I think we need a good story. We need something about a person that you've worked with and how they're doing really good. I need that. The more I think about that, I just get overwhelmed. So I need a good, positive story.
Right. So let me tell you one. And this story with all of our clients, is always an evolving story. Just like our lives always continue to change, their stories are going to continue to change. So I actually just had a conversation with one of the gals that we've been working with last night, and she fell into trafficking at 14 years old. So essentially, as is super common with so many of the trafficking survivors, they're kids that are in foster care, and they end up not having these good, strong family ties or feel like they can trust people, and it really makes them vulnerable. So this little girl had been taken away from her family when she was 11 years old, and she spent 3 years in foster care and was bounced from home to home and did not have any real strong connections, but she had made a good friend in one of her foster families who was a little bit older than her. And so this older friend had run away and was living with a couple of people in an apartment, and they, you know, kind of invited this young girl to run away too. So she ran away. She was 13 and then turned 14, you know, maybe a month after she left. And so what happened, Jim, was that in this apartment, somebody had, you know, paid the rent or whatever for all these young underage kids to stay, but they had to earn the money every month thereafter to be able to pay the rent. And so she was essentially compelled to begin to sell herself so that she could pay her portion of the rent in this apartment. And that's how she fell into trafficking. And so she did that for a couple of years, was able to get out of trafficking, was dealing with serious drug addiction. So she was addicted to heroin, and kept falling back into trafficking because she just wasn't able to get out of this addiction, essentially. Well, she ended up being placed with a foster family who had some understanding about trafficking, and they were really helping her take these big strides and addressed addiction right away and helped her with that addiction process. When she felt like she kind of had this mastery over the addiction that kept pulling her back into trafficking, that's when she just flourished. And so she is actually going to be renting her own apartment here in the next, you know, couple of weeks. And she's got a huge support system. She got her GED, and she's looking for a job right now, and just feels so much hope about the future. And so much of that was because she had support from loving people, a Christian family, Jim. It was a Christian family who said, we're going to love you despite knowing that you're struggling with heroin and that we're going to have to fight that with you. And they are the ones that came alongside her and are still supporting her even today so that she can, you know, live this victorious, independent life. And that's just, to me, like the beauty of all of it. As you were talking before, how people who are struggling with, like, pornography addiction, they need people to come beside them to help. That's how we're all designed. God hardwired us to need people. And so when we as believers want to care about someone, then that means we care about them night and day through the dark times, not just the easy times. And so kudos to this family that was willing to, you know, take this risky kid and walk with her to this victorious time she has in her life.
Well, I've gotten to know a lot of pastors around Albuquerque doing this show, which is one of the great blessings, is to see the Christian community at work. And I'm just telling you, every pastor I know, every lay person that works in these ministries are people that, sure, they may not be experts on pornography. They may not know anything about human sex trafficking, but these are people that are long-suffering. They will love you. They're not going to point a finger at you. They're going to go, hey, man, thanks for coming forward with that. Let's get you involved here. You know, if you go to people and you have quality relationships, I just know that the church is there. Shelley, I need to ask you how people can come alongside you. You obviously have a very expensive task. This takes a long time to bring people out of human sex trafficking. You mentioned earlier that I think if you had the resources, you would have a homeless shelter in addition to the services you're already providing. So how can people help you financially and also as volunteers?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a faith-based nonprofit. We do not receive any money from the federal government. So everything that we do is because there are believers out there who say, yeah, we want to be part of this mission. And they volunteer their time, they volunteer their talent, and they volunteer their treasure. Jim, we have attorneys that volunteer for us and help our clients as they navigate the legal system, and they totally pro bono their time. We have people who have, like, our clinicians, so like professional counselors who have gone through very specific training around trauma and trafficking and all of that, who come alongside and volunteer their time to help with our clients. And then we have people who give generously. And so all of those connections, you can go to our website, nmdreamcenter.org, and we have how to connect right on there and get more information about that. But really, Jim, a huge part of what we see as a gap in services in Albuquerque, and not just Albuquerque, in the state of New Mexico, and not just in the state of New Mexico, but across the United States, are specialized services for children and teens who are survivors of sex trafficking. Jim, there's not a lot of services for adults out there in this situation, and then there's even less for children. And so what we really feel like are the next steps that we need to take is that we need to acquire property and be able to have a special designed residential facility for these young survivors of sex trafficking. So we are looking for people who might have some property that they would be willing to donate to us, you know. Ideally, that would be like in the East Mountains, because we kind of just, you know, our outreach is right here off of Central. That's not the best way for somebody to recover, you know, someplace that's a little out of town. So something like that. If people are interested in doing outreach, we love that. So we're talking about outreach on the streets where you're talking with people. We do outreach in the different youth shelters. We do outreach at the trucks. Stops where stuff is happening, and then outreach in other areas in Albuquerque that we know are high trafficking areas. If people are interested in being part of these outreach teams, then you know, we would love to help them get involved. And what we want everybody to know, the caveat with all of this is that, you know, we've got a pretty high degree of training that goes with all of this. We're not going to just, you know, say, okay, we're just going to send you over here to the truck stop and just go talk to some people. Go talk to them. We don't do that. We are absolutely a believer in high training to prepare people for all of these outreach experiences.
We're going to talk a little bit more about your outreach teams and volunteers when we come back. Shelley Rep on the phone with us with the New Mexico Dream Center. We'll be back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We recently had a chance to catch up with Buck Buckner, the owner of Rain Tunnel Car Spa. Here's what he had to say about doing business locally.
Hey, Budgay. Car Spa and other local businesses are joining forces to launch a campaign called Local First. It's a call to action to spend our hard-earned money with locally owned businesses. Why local? For every dollar spent at local businesses, the economic impact on our local economy is 3 to 4 times that of the same dollar spent at a non-local entity. With them, profits beyond minor repairs are exported. Local businesses reinvest in the community again and again. Local businesses are completely dependent on community support and thus have a much deeper tie to the neighborhood. Local businesses are as competitive as non-locals. They hire local, promote local, and operate with far less employee turnover. National tenants are not a critical piece of our local economy and arrive only years after local business success. Where are those nationals? Sports Authority, Marcello's, Borders, Raley's, Copeland's, Zia's. Poof. Gone. Legislators, along with American Express, suggest we take one day to buy local. Nice thought. Don't they know our local businesses operate 365 days per year? So think, act, and do local first. Shop local, dine local, wash local, bank local, construct local, search engine local. follow local media, and finally, to increase the coffers for an even greater Albuquerque, keep it local.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise at knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Shelley Rep, Executive Director of the New Mexico Dream Center, on the phone with us this afternoon. Shelley, you've got a ministry that presents some real challenges. Number one, trying to find young people that are affected by sex trafficking is one. But I want to give everybody a scenario that's listening today. If you're interested in an outreach team with Shelley, I don't want to sugarcoat this. If you are trained and you go the way all the way through their training and everything else, and you're walking through a truck stop in Albuquerque, remember there's some bad guys there supervising their business, their human traffic business. And so, Shelley, you're not always amongst people that are looking out for your well-being when you're working in your ministry, are you?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, people absolutely need to understand that we are doing outreach in the criminal element itself. Like, that is just the reality of it. That being said, you know, we try to be as smart as we can and know that we've got to rely on God to protect us. And we actually have not had any, we've never had any threats against anybody. We've never had, you know, a trafficker's never done anything or shown that they've identified us in a different way. And part of it, and I don't want to, like, give away all of our secrets of the trade, but we have some very specific things that we do and don't do to try to, you know, keep us safe. And but that being said, there's a lot of the outreach that we do that is literally a compassionate heart and being willing to talk with kids at the skate park. You know, like, go to the skate park and you're talking with these kids because that's kind of where homeless kids are going to hang out. Walking, you know, and talking to the homeless population and, you know, where are these younger kids? Let's talk with them. And so there's a lot of it that is being willing to be a little bit uncomfortable also, that goes along with it. We work very closely with law enforcement whenever we are, taking people into an area where we expect that there's going to be, traffickers present.
Shelley, you've shocked me in the past by telling me that there are certain neighborhoods in Albuquerque and you actually know, like, cartel people who are controlling certain neighborhoods. It's that prevalent. You know who the people are that are the bad guys.
Yes. And I remember when we first kind of discovered that, I was just, you know, I was thinking, well, I'm just going to call, you know, APD and they can come and take care of this. And they're not capable of taking care of it. I mean, it is so entrenched in some areas that, that there's oftentimes where there literally has not been a response. There's many hotel or motels that are known for trafficking, but one in particular where the security guard was the one that we kind of connected with, and he would, you know, he would give us these tips about things that were happening and things that were going down, and within all of that, we would call the police, and the 911, not even just like 242 cops, and there would not be a response. They were just not capable of responding at that time. So we have to realize that our law enforcement officers are pretty overwhelmed with situations and circumstances. And so it's not, Jim, there's no easy answer to this kind of stuff. There's just no easy answer. And so we just keep going forward because it's what God's called us to do.
You know, I know this isn't a solution, but I have this vision of every church in Albuquerque for a period of, you know, weekends, maybe a month worth of weekends, Friday night, Saturday night, walking down Central with 400 or 500 people, like this gigantic number of people, peacefully, though, just kind of sweeping all the way down Central and just, you know, grabbing up everybody that that really needs help and plugging them in somewhere. And, you know, I think that as a, you know, as a Christian community, we can come together and we can help. And Shelley, you really have the tools. In New Mexico Dream Center, you have the background, you have the experience, you've been working with the state agencies. This really is a problem that we can solve, isn't it?
I do. I think that it is. When we look at the size of our state and our population, this is solvable. I firmly believe that God has laid this issue on the doorstep of the Christian community, that he has said, my people who are called by my name, you need to rise up and do something. I feel like we have the answers, we as the body of believers, more so than anybody else, and that we have those resources if we choose to use them in this way. Like, Jim, I love your vision of, like, 400 or 500 people, you know, going down Central. Could you imagine how many missing and exploited kids we would find if we did something like that? And you've said this to me before, so I'm just going to push this back to you, because, Jim, maybe God is calling you to start kind of organizing something like that. And what if we actually did that? What if we said, okay, if we know that this is happening, here's the kind of services we're going to need. Let's contact them. Let's make sure they know and, like, make a coordinated effort. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Like, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing, Jim?
Well, and I agree with you, but I'm not envisioning a protest. I'm literally envisioning a walking festival of people, yeah, just that they will introduce themselves to somebody that looks like they're at risk. It could be an adult, it could be a minor, whatever. And they would have a commitment and the resources to just grab this person, bring them into a whole new community, protect them, guard them, help them with jobs, all the things that you're talking about. And I know, yeah, that the resources are there. And I got to tell you, it's there for a number of issues. One of the things that I've been promising to get you together with is I've wanted to get you together with Holly Slade with Feed New Mexico Kids. She's she's providing these packets of food for kids to have food on the weekends. And it's shocking how many children do not have food for the weekends. And, you know, I compliment the Albuquerque Public Schools. They are doing so much to make sure that children have food and just getting the word out there. But heck, if we got right now, we've only got about, Holly estimates very similar numbers to what you have, that let's say there's 4,000 homeless youth that are school age children and are somehow connected to the Albuquerque Public Schools. Well, Monday through Friday, APS has a way for them to be fed, even when school has been out for COVID. But on the weekends, they don't typically have a way to get food. So Calvary, New Mexico, Calvary Albuquerque, Calvary Church, I always say the church name wrong. It's Calvary Church, Legacy Church, and several others are feeding kids through Feed New Mexico Kids on the weekends. Well, they need to be connected with you because you are running across kids that need food. Right. And I know Holly would love to meet you. So I just have to start putting that stuff together. So yeah, you've put it on me. And I think that's something that I need to do at least, you know, connect people. That's what ABQ Connect is supposed to be, is a way for us to communicate together, communicate to the community. And I love, you know, tomorrow on the program, I've got, the president of the Albuquerque Rotary Club, and I have the CEO and the president of the board for the Jewish Community Center coming in to talk about how they are feeding people on the Navajo Nation. And
I love it.
You know, so we're all coming together. We're coming together not only as the faith community, but we're coming together with other organizations just because we live together and we love one another and we're going to take care of each other, you know, regardless of our differences. And that's what I like.
Yep, absolutely.
So one more time, Shelley, you would love to have business sponsorship. You would love to have volunteers. How can people get in touch with you?
Yes, absolutely. Connect with me at nmdreamcenter.org. We have a connect page that with a simple form that you can fill out. And even if it's something, Jim, that's as simple as, hey, I need some resources. I heard about, you know, the pornography thing. What are some resources? Things like that. We want to do that.
Shelley Rep, you're always wonderful. Thank you for blessing us today. And we just pray your ministry continues to be effective and God just absolutely backs you all the way. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.